Welcome in, everybody. It is Inside the Gamecocks, the show portion of the live super stream. It is Phil Mad Dog Mullinax here, JC Sherbert in with you to kick off the week. And probably got some chat box questions to dive into, JC. I saw coffee this morning. It was about some depth charts, although all I did was read the headline. I have yet to have a chance to listen this morning. I'm busy this morning, so getting the week kicked off right here. It's kind of counting down the days until summer is over around my house, which is a bittersweet time of the year, man. A bittersweet time of the year.
More sweet than bitter, bitter than sweet. So yeah, they were talking about Georgia Tech earlier, and I looked up who their offensive coordinator is. There, it's a famous name in the history of Georgia Tech football, George Godsey. But, however, guess where he came from, Phil?
Ah, no clue.
The National Football League.
Long
career. OC of the Texans. Mm-hmm. He's only been an OC 2 years in the NFL with the Texans. Coach for the Lions, the Dolphins, the Ravens.
Dolphins, yeah. Oh, I see
that. Well, he did. I guess he coached for Todd Monken with the Ravens this past, you know. Buster Faulkner also coached for Todd Monken, so I don't know. I don't have a whole lot of faith in the Jackets, my friend.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, my biggest thing is Haynes King is not walking through that door this year, and that was essentially
that's the interesting reason
for the success.
All right, so, you know, back when Buster Faulkner was at Southern Miss, it was like he and I had a mutual friend, and gosh, it was Muschamp or Beamer one had an opening, and you know, you'll get calls if you cover a team. You know, hey, but check behind the scenes, see if this guy's in the mix. He's really promoting Buster Faulkner, but I looked at his numbers at Southern Miss, and I was like, I don't know. And this guy, I don't know. They hadn't really, you know, Southern Miss wasn't particularly good. So I don't know. He's got a good reputation. Obviously worked at Georgia. Obviously, the offense at Georgia Tech worked, especially with King there. He does have some good ideas, but we'll see. I mean, we'll see what happens. I think Florida fans just want to put points on the board. I mean, anything's probably going to be an improvement over what Napier. For the life of me, some of these guys surprised me. Billy Napier, I thought was a pretty good play caller back in 2009, you know, and he's getting involved. And at Louisiana, he was able to just line up and run it all over everybody. You couldn't do that. You can't do that in the SEC.
It's a little tougher. Some guys have a hard time getting around that learning curve.
They ask, you know, people talk about Sumrall, you know, and I'll tell you who he reminds me of. He reminds me of William Larry Muschamp, who I got a lot of respect for. You know, I don't bash Muschamp. I understand where things went wrong with him here, and, you know, it's on him, and he'd be the first to tell you that. But, you know, the enthusiasm, the personality, the competitiveness, the fire, all that good stuff. I mean, they're very similar people, you know, and I don't know. You know, Muschamp didn't coach at the lower levels before he got the Florida job, but there's a lot of familiarity with that to me. But I don't know, you know, and then coming from Tulane and Troy. Now on the counter side of that with Summerall, Phil, somebody did say something when he was hired, when they were kind of one of those stupid hiring grade things.
No, yeah.
You know, those are like NFL draft grades. You just never know.
No.
But the writer mentioned, I don't know if it was Feldman or Dennis Dodd, who was, I don't remember who it was. I like coaches who have won at multiple places. And I think there's something to that, you know, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because you can go wrong sometimes getting a guy that's just been good one place. And then he get like the Kyle Whittingham thing at Michigan intrigues me,
right?
A lot, you know. And the Matt Campbell at Penn State intrigues me too for different reasons. I'll get to that in a second. But with Kyle Whittingham, you know, so he was Urban Meyer's DC, and then Urban left for Florida, and actually kept Charlie. And Whittingham got the Utah job, so he's been at Utah for 20 years, right? And won a lot of games. Solid, solid football coach.
Yeah.
Solid. But that's the only place he's done it. And every program is different. Every program has a way to win. What works one place will not work in another. We know that. That's just a fact.
Right.
Facts, bro. Facts. Right? And it's just, I don't know, man. You know, so I'm very intrigued by that. Whereas Summerall's won at two places. Troy and Tulane are kind of new money, old money, kind of smaller level programs. Tulane used to be in the SEC, obviously, and there were some times where they were really good back in the day. They used to play the Sugar Bowl, and they played a Super Bowl at what used to be Tulane Stadium, this 80,000-seat monstrosity down in New Orleans until they built the Superdome. So Tulane, you know, has this rich history, whereas Troy, I don't even know that they played. I mean, they're kind of new to – I think in the 90s they came into D1 football or whatever. I think they were a D2 school for a while. But both programs have a chance, you know.
Right.
I mean, just like Louisiana Lafayette. It's not like he was winning at Monroe or, you know. I don't know, man. I've just got some questions about it. Craiger mentions in the McKellar Enterprises chat box that Jaden Ball is a good start. Yeah, Jaden Ball is really good. I think the quarterback, whoever gets that job, just needs to not mess it up. And they need somebody, obviously, that can distribute the ball to their perimeter playmakers. I did hear some talk about the offensive line down there having some questions. I think on defense, they got the personnel to probably have the best defense they've had in a while. So I don't know. You know, Florida's a very interesting team to me. It'd be better for the Gamecocks if they didn't have to go down there because – they've only won down there twice, you know,
right? And yeah.
Sometimes against the odds, but it's that they're going to be a very interesting football team for me. But a lot of these teams in the SEC, Phil, have big question marks.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the preseason range of outcomes is greater as a whole, like across the board in the SEC this season, just because you've got all those new faces and new places. Head coach, you've got the transfers. Some teams, LSU comes to mind, kind of built on the transfer philosophy. Yeah. Although I thought Kiffin explained that very well, it made good logical sense at ACC media days. But you're right, JC. Like when you're looking at this, like it's why. Well, there's a couple of reasons why you don't get offended at where your team is ranked in polls. But coming out of Tampa, ranked 11th by the air quotes media, is not a surprise just because of all the factors that go into it. And
yeah,
I mean, aside from Georgia and Texas being 1 and 2, it's a dice throw.
South Carolina is never going to get the benefit of the doubt either.
No.
I mean, you need to, well, the expectations are high. We'll put them 5th or 4th,
right.
You know, but immediately when last season was batted down there, that's what surprised me about Oklahoma. I thought, well, Oklahoma, you know, they went to the playoff last year and they still didn't really have a great offense. They couldn't block.
Yeah.
And then Mateer hurt his hand and that's why he went south. I guess what people are ignoring. See, no, people, facts, bro. Facts, right? That's going to be a new slogan around here. Facts, bro.
Facts, bro.
Facts. You know, they tend to ignore that, like the details. Oh, well. Mateer sucks. We can't play in the SEC. Well, he had a broken, mangled hand, dude.
Right.
what are you expecting? They led them to the playoff. They got enough. Right? They got enough.
Yeah, I mean, what? Yeah, what did you need more?
Yeah, I mean, facts, bro. You know, Lenora Sellers took a step back last year. You know, the offense looked bad. Okay, well. They've got a new offensive coordinator, and he's got a pretty good tracker. Facts, bro.
Facts, bro.
You know, but no, Carolina's there. You know, like, and we found this out bigly because as inconsistent as South Carolina has been, you know, the fact that they base most of these things off what happened last year. I keep hearing Mike Leach's voice a minute. That was last year.
Last freaking year.
You know, we know that. It, that's what happens. It's based on last year. Even when expectations have been a little higher, you know, they put them up wherever. And then, you know, based off last year, expectations are lower, so they drop. Florida and Auburn, which go look at their – Phil, pull up Auburn's record and Florida's record since 2021, the Beamer, during the Beamer era.
Let's see.
Pull those bad boys up. I want to, you know, and I know they've won national championships in the last, you know, this century, but, you know, it's not like they've been having, oh, we had a couple of bad down years and now we're back. No. And how many coaching changes? They're basically a lot like Tennessee was under Dooley and Champions of Life and Pruitt. Both those programs are.
Yeah, so sub 500 record for Florida all but one of those years. So a 6-7, 6-7, 5-7, 8-5, 2024, Billy's best year. And then finished off 25-4-8.
Now I'll give their kids credit. They got them off the mat and actually played well in their ACC the end rivalry of the
season.
Game.
Yeah.
They beat Florida State pretty good. But
And now Auburn, I don't know if it's going to be even that good.
That's 5 years, dude. That's a whole bunch of recruiting classes cycling through that were all ranked highly for both these teams.
Yeah. So Auburn's is, yes, even worse, 32-42 overall, 6-7, 5-7, 6-7, 5-7, and 5-7.
And so that's, Auburn has not had a winning season since 2020 when they fired Gus Malzahn.
That's for
winning six SEC games.
That's right. Mm-hmm. But they lost to South Carolina, so that's what did it.
Bro,
2020.
Yeah, that actually was a big win.
That was huge.
You look back on it. I did the 40 highs and 40 lows every year. That took me forever to write, by the way. I'll never again. I did the whole thing from memory too, except I had to look up one thing. That win by Carolina over that Auburn team was actually fantastic. It was the high of that season. We didn't realize it at the time because Gus was on the hot seat. Oh, yeah, well, Carolina finally beat Auburn, thankfully.
Yeah.
That Auburn team won six SEC games.
Nuts.
And then they fired him and paid him $39 million to walk away.
To go away.
Gus Malzahn. You buy a lot of Waffle House with that. $39
million. You sure can. Plenty of Yellowwood.
So Auburn had a winning season since then. Florida had one winning season, and that was kind of the miraculous finish because Napier was about to get fired in 2024. And they kind of did that with their defense, just to be honest. And it didn't last off season. And we're talking about them being a playoff team. They're supposed to have the best offensive line in America.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They lost to South Florida at home and it just spiraled from
there. Then it was all downhill.
But you look now, they're back up.
Yeah.
The Gamecocks, you know, oh, why? John Summerall, he's a winner. Auburn, people aren't quite ready to put Auburn up there yet. And I know why. Like with Florida, you probably do look at that blue chip ratio and go, oh, they got players. And they do.
Yeah, right.
They do. Mm-hmm. It would be a good year, I think, to get Auburn to come to Williams-Brice as well. South Carolina's schedule could only be a little bit better if Vandy and Auburn were on it instead of Oklahoma and Georgia. All right, I'd even trade Vandy and Auburn for Tennessee and Florida at this point. Mm. That would be a dream.
We'd be feeling a lot better about things.
Wait a minute. You can't trade Florida. They're a permanent
opponent. Yeah, they're a permanent opponent. So,
and Georgia's a permanent opponent. So let's trade Oklahoma,
Tennessee, and
A&M. Get rid of that.
I know.
The Bonham Trophy.
Nobody cares.
I saw A&M on the schedule again. I'm like, my gosh. In Oklahoma, Alabama for the third straight year. Two of the most storied programs in the history of college football.
I know.
No, we're going to send you out there for a second time in three seasons. Both places. You excited?
Yeah. You excited? Are you
ready?
Are you ready?
You're going to get excited about this? You know. So anyway, McKellar Enterprises chat box, certainly invite all. You know, Russell recognized the Big Head Todd and the Monsters quote. Yeah, that's one of my favorite. I still like Big Head Todd and the Monsters. I'll jam to them sometimes. Bittersweet. Almost said Inner Sandman. Resignation Superman is a good tune. Broken Hearted Savior is a jam. I like it.
Big Head Todd.
Good, man. Harrison's turning 21. He does very good work for us on thebigspur.com. Also helps us behind the scenes on Chief Sports. He's an avid chat boxer and a brilliant kid.
Mm-hmm.
I say kid because he's turning 21, right?
I mean, yeah, compared to the rest of us. I mean,
and so everybody is asking about we got on the topic of liquor because hopefully Harrison ties one on. Maybe not. And so I mentioned Mad Dog 2020.
Whew.
That. My stepson is in the experimenting with at parties with generic alcohol, and I think he got into the Popov vodka the other day because his mom got the speech, "I'm never drinking again." I'm never drinking again. We've all been there, bro. But Craigor brought up St. Ides. Yeah, St. Ides, Boone's Farm, part of it.
Yeah, I drank a lot of that Boone's Farm strawberry.
Fields TD brought up Smirnoff. That's awful vodka.
So I used to keep a bottle of Smirnoff in my room hit up in high school. It's probably one of the reasons why I really can't drink vodka nowadays. That gets me sick. I've had enough. Like there's a terminal volume for a lifetime. I used mine up early.
I'm done. Smirnoff used to be house liquor in a lot of places. Did you know?
Oh, that? Yeah.
It's not. Mm-hmm. I don't think it is anymore. My wife likes Tito's. My wife's a vodka drinker, except Smirnoff. And I'm like sitting there going, Smirnoff, man. Like that, I thought I was under the impression that was at least decent.
Yeah,
it's not Absolute or it's not the goose. Or maybe not even Tito's. Now, I'll still turn the goose loose every now and then on a martini, or a Bloody Mary if they have it.
Mm-hmm.
But most people drink Tito's is very popular.
Tito's is usually the one we keep around here.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So I guess Smirnoff has fallen down the liquor rankings list.
It's that mass production stuff. Now they it's all boutique made.
It doesn't get the benefit of the doubt anymore. No. It's like Auburn will be eventually if they keep having losing seasons. I'll pull for anybody but Auburn.
It's like Sam Jackson beer in my mind. It'll get you drunk.
So anyway, yeah, Mad Dog 2020. I don't even know how they made that stuff. Daryl likes Tito's. So that's good. Quantrell chimes in about preseason rankings. The older I get, I appreciate preseason talk. Preseason rankings are garbage. They don't matter at all. Yeah, and you got a lot of people doing it now. Like back in the day when there wasn't a whole lot of media before the internet came along. You cared what the national sports writers said. You cared what the magazine said, which, by the way, you figure out if you ever get into this business from a writing standpoint, the people that write those articles for the magazines are national and regional sports writers.
Right. Yeah.
Previews and stuff. So you buy those and you're fired up to know what it means. And, you listen to the sports talk radio and stuff. And so there's not as much to consume. And we all but now it's everywhere, mm-hmm. And so I don't know. The rankings, I'm not mad about any of it. I mean, I don't really think that it's that important. I don't care that Carolina's ranked 11th. I think Shane Beamer's going to remind the team every single day about that.
That's right.
Which is what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. But look, I'll roll this out at you. As far as that goes, it's one of those things where you can't really come to a consensus. Because you don't know about the players.
There's so many things. Yeah.
We're not far enough along in the portal era, Phil, to have data to go, okay, this usually works.
Yeah. Right?
And so, yeah. I mean, that's why I think it's such a mystery. And that's kind of why I like Carolina's chances. just to be honest.
I mean,
because there's less unknown. Maybe it's me and I've been paying attention to Carolina, not everybody else. And I've tried to dig in. But I have been, I mean, I have been the last month or so. I don't know if you guys noticed I've come up with a different team to gripe about every. I am digging in now.
That's right. Something to complain about.
And I like to call some of my buddies that cover other schools, and they'll get it to me straight. You know?
True. So, yeah.
But I just, there's just less questions coming up, you know, when it comes to Carolina. But there are some big ones with Carolina too, and all that good stuff.
Well, and I think, you know, there's one thing that kind of settles me is Carolina has done well at targeting, evaluating, and bringing in transfer talent on defense that has performed well even in like 1 year opportunities. So let's go.
David Pollock's pretty high.
Yeah.
Cousin Shane is pretty high on the Gamecocks. He says they're closer than ever. I don't know, man.
No, it makes me nervous. I mean, I appreciate it. Love Cousin Shane to death, but I don't think his picks do all that well.
Cousin Shane. He and Mike were on the Missouri bandwagon last year.
Yeah, they were.
I'll tell you that Missouri, I think, is pretty good. It was pretty good last year until their quarterback got hurt.
So, yeah.
I mean, they played Alabama and lost. Alabama played really well in the day. See, that's my question about Bama. Like last year, there were games where Alabama looked outstanding. And there were games they didn't. And now they got a lot of new players. And they still couldn't run the ball last year. So I don't know, man. I don't know what's going to happen at Tuscaloosa. I do know what's happening at GamecockTraditions.com. They have Nike stuff. So go check all that out. We appreciate them being. And those of you that went out to the Nick Harbor signing the other day.
Yeah.
We appreciate that. To support Nick, NIL-wise, also to support Gamecock Traditions, a proud sponsor here of Inside the Gamecocks. And Phil and I will be back after this, the next segment on the show.
Welcome back, everybody. Inside the Gamecocks, the show rolling on here. Final segment of the show here to kick off the week on a Monday, Manic Monday, Mad Dog Monday. Insert alliterative here. I don't know. Why do we do that?
Alliteration? Because it's fun.
It is
aggressive, creative, and fun.
That's right. Some of it is aggressive, creative, and fun.
I've been doing a little creative writing lately.
Yes, you have. It's great. Have you
been partaking?
I have. I've enjoyed thoroughly.
I got a new program that kind of, anyway.
J.C. Lloyd Webber.
I mean, I'll have some. It did have a little Lloyd Webber
to it. It's got a little touch of it.
Anyway, the audience ain't going to know what the hell we're talking about.
So nope. We're gonna football.
Nevertheless, okay, so I want to mention this, and then I can get with this, and I can get with that, and then I can get with this, and you can get with that. But anyway, Nasir White, who is Nasir Walker. Class of 2028 defensive end from AC Flora. Okay, so he transferred, right? So this has been happening in high school basketball in our state a ton lately. But you have to understand, in basketball, this is kind of thing's been going on for years. You know, Kevin Garnett, of course, famously went to Farragut Academy in Chicago. A lot of kids used to go to like Oak Hill Prep, and they didn't just go to prep school. Mm. You know, they go to, you know, they go as high school players. Basketball, it's kind of been that way for a while with some of the top guys, not just in our state, but other states. But now you're starting to see it in football a little bit. And it kind of started back when Xavier Thomas and Stephon Wynn and guys like that would go to IMG. Now, the guys that started the IMG football program down there are friends of mine. You know, they used to do the Under Armour camp circuit, and I have a lot of respect for them. So I have to be, you know, I don't want to criticize them. I do want to say we've had about 10 years of this. There's no discernible evidence that going to IMG and playing and beating the crap out of everybody that you play, you know, it makes you a better football player in college or gives you more NIL money or anything like that. So I think some kids go to IMG because they have grade issues and they need to get the grades up, you know, and IMG's got the tutoring and all that to help you, but that's all it. But this is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
As Nasir Walker is going to Creed Lutheran in California, Irvine, California, from Columbia. And my understanding is this is not his parents said, oh, I think we're going to move the whole family to California.
That's right.
So there's some recruiting and agent things involved here. Now, I want to say this. This kid, no matter what they paid him, it's a dollar too much.
Right.
And people go, oh, you're beating up on a high school kid. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm beating up on the adults that made this decision. And not even his parents. You know, parents do the best they can. They want the best for their kids. I get that. They are very rightfully biased, non-neutral observer. But the coaches out at that school in California and the agent or whatever, they're going to, I mean, so when you look at Walker, he's 6'5", 222. Needs to work on his first step in his get off. Okay, so Julian Walker, right?
That's right.
Big Julian guy. Walker was a little bit quicker off the line as a young player, but that was something his get off when you watched his junior film. And this kid isn't even a junior yet, sophomore right. film.
He's
like, well, he's not as quick off the line as you'd hope, you know, and now he is. So he's Julian Walker has done nothing but work and get better at football. Kid doesn't look, he's not very active in the weight room at the high school level. And so maybe all this going out there and where they've got more structure, maybe that's the reason is that he wasn't structured. I don't know. AC Flora, you got a former NFL guy coaching them and the coach before that won 10 games. So I don't know. But I just think that when this starts to creep into the high school level, as bad as it is in college, as far as, you know, stunting the development of players, you know, you start getting active transfers, recruiting money involved with high school players. And, you know, the whole thing is going to collapse because then there's not going to be, you're going to have a ton. Literally, you can fill up a Webster's dictionary. You'll be able to fill up a Webster's dictionary worth of names of guys that could have played professional football and supported their families generationally doing it that ruined themselves over however much, couple hundred thousand or whatever. I don't know whatever price that was by going to some stupid high school football program that they can't, that probably, you know, without rich boosters or tax money can't sustain itself. They don't make money in high school. High school football makes no money. It makes the opposite of money, Phil. And what's that?
That's right. Negative money.
No money.
No money. It's going to cost you to move out
college here. College football at least makes money. You invest and you get a return. This is ridiculous. This and the coaches and agent and all these people trying to do this at the high school level, it's not good for the game. And I'm not necessarily talking about transfers within our state. You know, they change the rules. You get that. You know, even things like Gray Collegiate and Oceanside, which, you know, you certainly could make an argument against some of those spots.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan, but, you know.
But you take a kid and football now. Now, if you're a basketball player, it's going to be a lottery pick in 2 years. Hell yeah, move him across the country. I mean, go. It's done.
Mm-hmm.
It's done. but a guy at a developmental position who – only has offers because of upside who, you know, is going to have to, I mean, you know, you actually compensate. I don't know. I'm just not into it.
Yeah.
I'm just not into it.
No, I mean, I don't know. What are California's, you know, high school NIL? Not that it even really matters anymore. You know,
high school, I mean, it kind of ends it with high school. Just kind of depends on the school.
Right.
If you want to go do that, you can. And I'm like, there's not enough unless one person just wants to. I mean, I think it's kind of cheating if you go out of state and recruit and then go play California schools, some of which are locked into whoever moves into their school district.
Right.
I mean, what does it prove when you're doing that? What does it prove? Because Nasir Walker is probably not the only one. What does it prove if, you know, you're there and you're so-and-so school or academy and you get to play against City High School and Down the Block High School and Ocean Shore High School, right?
Right.
And all those schools, pretty, they care about football. Their parent is very supportive of it. They fund the program. Again, a lot from taxpayer dollars. And, you know, they got a proud tradition. And you're sitting there, but your deal is you're just going to go, you know, get players from all over the place just because you have crazy people running it that can. And then you win and you beat everybody by 30 points. What does that really prove, Phil?
Right. Nothing.
What does it prove on the high school level? Nothing.
No, not a thing.
Nothing. I mean, it's Loserville. I think it's loser mentality. I think it's a loser. Like, I think people that try to do that, they're not ultra competitive. They're not win at all costs at the high school level. They can't get it done on their own. They're like the little guy that stands on the big guy's shoulders and fights and boxes. And
that's
makes,
right.
Makes lucky contact and then says he beat Mike Tyson in his prime in a fight.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you said it earlier. I mean, yeah, if basketball's fine, hell, baseball doesn't really matter. I mean, but when you're talking about a sport as developmental as football is, like that there are not just minor step ups, but wide gaps in between the different levels, like in between every different level, once you get organized in high school, then you're this search for immediate gratification can completely derail any long-term development that could, like you said, like be generationally life-changing for some of these families, all to, you know, satisfy an immediate need. And it's a little short-sighted, but I think that's where, you know, I don't know who this kid's agent is. I don't know for
agent. I'm an agent, dude. I mean, when you say agent, it means money's involved. Now,
right.
Exactly. So there's a lot of kids in South Carolina transferring. I don't necessarily like it.
No.
But I don't really think, man, that like there's a ton of money being like, I don't think the Dutch Fork Booster Club is moving anybody across the country. In South Carolina so far, what I've seen is it's kind of like the not free market in terms of finances. And I'm not saying no money's changed hands. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I would imagine that, you know, people in South Carolina are a little smarter than that. But, I think a lot of it is, okay, it's kind of like the school choice argument, right? Oh, you know, you perform well, you know, then, you know, you got a good program. Kids are going to gravitate toward your program. It's like school choice. You know, the people that advocate for that are like, well, this school's good. So even if you live over here, you should be able to go to that school, you know, that kind of thing. I get that. The Mountain View preps and things like that too. Blake mentions Chapman never have a chance to win state. I noticed you didn't mention your Landrum Cardinals, buddy. That's okay.
That's all right. Yeah. Two way. Right. Or are they
one of these days, Landrum will be big and competitive. It'll be like a 5A school.
It wouldn't surprise me. Yeah.
No, not at all. But, those kind of prep school charter schools have been around for a while. They're popping up. You get it. And I know like your other high school coaches don't really like it, but it's,
But Abbeville's not working that I-10 corridor, kids to come to school there.
You know, so I just Jay Diz says his buddy's kid benefited from going to IMG. He had horrible high school coaches that are fully in with Clemson. Most high school coaches are great, but a couple of them in South Carolina try to control where kids will go. I see less and less of that these days, but. I mean, I'm sure you're right. I mean, to me, if there's a specific reason to go someplace, like, you know, with IMG through the years that I've seen, I'm fine with it. Like the kid that's from Hartsville that went to Clemson. What's his name? The D tackle.
Where's Bruin when you need him?
He yeah. Goes. Anyway, he, my understanding was hearing about him that he didn't Hartsville, because some public school guidance counselors and people like that mess it up too for these yeah. guys. The grades were off and you know, Hartsville High School. This is what I was told, you know, somebody's out there, don't get mad at me, that if he was going to stay at Hartsville, he probably wasn't going to qualify. But then so he went to IMG. I don't mind that. That's fine. I don't really mind the in-state transfers unless it becomes like an epidemic. Right. And you do have people starting to fork out big money. And then it comes down to who has the most disposable cash to pay. Because let's face it, there are school districts that are richer than others because the tax base is richer, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I just, you know, I'm not, but this whole, I'm like an agent, a rising junior and just coming to California. I'd say that if it was a school from South Carolina going to California to get a guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, any cross country attraction to players. At it's the high school level, that's what
K-part
by K-part way. yeah
mm-hmm. Yeah, I just don't get it. And now up in Chicago, you have recruiting that takes place, and this has been this way for years, in eighth grade. Now there's no money, right?
You know? right
but and it's because you have the Catholic schools.
Mm.
You know, you have the Chicago's got a bunch of Catholic private schools. And so when kids are in eighth grade, they decide, well, am I going to go to Providence Catholic or am I going to go to Lockport? You know, we took the Moose. He was recruited, I guess. He went and spent a day at Providence, and then he went and spent a day at Lockport, and then decided public school was for him. So that's fine. I mean, you know, I'm not saying that recruiting should never take place. I'm saying this whole deal, and if it's happening with a guy like Walker, it's happening all over the place. I don't understand where the money's coming from, right? Because, okay, in college, which is the agents, the parasites, the parasitical ones,
mm-hmm.
The schools, the collectives, the business, whoever, they've got the money to pay the kid. And it's the dollars are up there, unfortunately. Way more than they're worth, but they're up there. And so I understand, like, okay. And then college sports, the argument is, well, it makes all this money. Shouldn't they get their cut? So what revenue are you generating at the high school level by winning?
What do you mean?
Other than more people join the booster club, you sell more hot dogs in the stands, I guess.
Right.
Game day revenue. But you're not talking about, I mean, how many hot dogs can you sell? How many ads can you sell? Is that program going to look like the Sears catalog? Or the dictionary?
That's right.
How many ads in the programming? So there's not that many businesses in Orange County, California.
No.
Mm-mm. I mean, I don't understand where the motivation is other than, you know, I'm going to stand on the shoulders of this big dude with money and punch all of my opponents in the face. And that makes for an unfair game. And then that's going to erode an entire group of really guys that have the raw talent and ability to do well in college football, to do well in the NFL, over peanuts and a quote-unquote great opportunity for them and their family, which, not compared to the opportunity you get down the road, it's going to ruin their development. And then, you know, and I always say, there'll be somebody to take their place. Football's talent maximization, right? Mm-hmm. So a guy out of high school may not have quite the talent this other guy has, but that other guy's not going to work, and that guy's going to outwork him. And then you'd never dream of taking the other guy, right?
Mm-mm.
So Quantrell says, JC, sounds like NIL laws in South Carolina will be changing if they want to keep top talents just the way it is. Parents could argue that the state has a corridor of shame label. I'm sending my kid out of here. That's true, Quantrell, but the corridor of shame, I think AC Flora is one of the best high schools in the state.
Yeah, Flora
specifically.
Is.
And I don't blame anybody to do it. You know, I don't blame the parents or the kids for doing it. I don't, you know, I do think this in nationally, they may need to look at a high school NIL law Because how much name, image, and likeness in Orange County, California is Nasir Walker worth?
Right. Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's got.
Look, lots of people go to California to become famous. But
maybe there's a Walker tire out there.
Yeah. You know, I mean, look. Paramount Pictures isn't like signing them to the deal before they come out there. Let's give you this advance.
That's right. Yeah.
They're starring five pictures for us.
They're giving him a 4-picture deal.
Yeah, but yeah, the corridor of shame and all that. Like, I know there's some schools in South Carolina that leave a lot to be desired academically. And that's a shame. But that's just how it is.
Yeah.
I just think for the game and for some of these kids' lives. And like Quantrell, here's my thing too. Even if, okay, so if you paid, so to get a kid out there like that and his family and all that, you know, what are you looking at? A couple of hundred grand, 400 grand. That's way, way too much to spend on one player on football. Even if you paid a guy $50,000 for one season of high school football, that's too much. And, you know, football is a voluntary sport. You don't have to participate if you don't want to.
Yeah, right. You're not obligated to do so.
You know, and just like any other profession, if you want to be a professional, you have to put in your dues. And some of this stuff, it's like, you know, this guy hadn't really done anything. So I don't know. But I do wish. Now what I'd like to see, Quantrell, with NIL in South Carolina is, okay, you've got like Ed Burns, they have a Meet the Rebels night. You know, okay, you know what I'd like to see done there? You know, everybody, like, I don't know. I'm using this as a hypothetical example. I don't know what the details are of Meet the Rebels night. But like, okay, so everybody in the community maybe shows up, right? And they pay $5 to go in and have their picture taken with the players and bring their kids. And there's punch and pie or whatever, you know, everybody. Okay, barbecue dinner. And they use it as a fundraiser because these programs do have to raise outside funds. It's not all taxpayer money. Okay, great. Great. All right, so you want to give give a couple of players some spending money or something, put in their pocket for it? Yeah, I'm all for that. It's their time too after school. You know, you want the local, you know, burger joint to have one of their best players, as you know, cut a commercial on social media. Well, yeah, they should get paid for that. But NIL is not, there is some blending of traditional NIL now, finally, but it's not NIL at the college level. It's pay for play. And then you have the exact same thing happening at high school. It kind of makes me sick to my stomach.
Yeah.
Because again, the motivation, what's the motivation for, Nasir Walker? You know what that is. What's the motivation for paying him?
Yeah.
Besides, you know, we're going to buy a team and beat the crap out of this school that, you know, got rezoned, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, what if and this is reckless speculation, but could we be seeing undue influence at the high school level from universities who are going to begin treating these private institutions as dedicated feeders?
I don't know. Interesting.
That's what I'm worried about, because there is not any level of constraint or oversight that could poke its head into that relationship legally at this
feeders point. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if it wouldn't be good. I mean, like, let's say Walker had decided already, this is we're not specifically talking about him anymore. These are hypothetical.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you know, what if Warner said, hey, I want to play at UCLA. I love Bob Chaney. Of course, it's way too early to be making that kind of decision because if you had a feeder school, then you couldn't get out of it.
Yeah, that's it's like you're kind of locked in either way.
Yeah, and it's like, I'm going to UCLA, so I'm just going to go on. And that's like an early enrollment. I'm going to go play at the school down from UCLA. You know, parents are going to get out here and get settled. That's fine with me.
Yeah, but let's say, you know, the Trojan boosters have concocted this. I mean, and it's less... let's not think that a situation like this is not well within the realm of possibility at Southern Cal, that they collectively pool their money, throw a national net out there and funnel these kids to a few private institutions to then come to their private institutions, private institution. And then at the same time, it's like, well, you know, if your hit rate is high enough, then the every once in a while bust that you have doesn't really matter. Because money's not real at the next level, at the college level, right? I mean, it isn't. It just is what it is. So
there's way more bust for the money than there always will be, though, because you can't. If you keep driving the prices up more and more, nobody, and eventually, and again, I've evolved on this. It's easy to sit there and beat up on, you know, parasite agents, but there's not every agent's a parasite. Some are pros. No, they're just doing their job. You can't just blanket blame agents. You can't just blanket blame parents or kids. I think a lot of times it's the coaches and the boosters.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, you saw it in basketball this year, Phil. The coaches griping and complaining all year. Basketball coaches. And I'm like, all right, well, there's about to be a reckoning because they're getting less rev share money and prices are about to come. Oh, no, hell no. You know, and the ones that complain the loudest are the ones that are, like, paying stupid money
that are probably the worst offenders, right?
Yeah.
It's interesting. There's a lot. I think there's a lot to this story that we don't know and a lot that we will never know. But I think that you can extrapolate from what's going on that there are certain paths that may need to kind of keep an eye on.
Yeah. Quantrell says $50,000 and all the In-N-Out burgers you can eat for your senior year. Sounds like a deal.
Hey, I'd have traveled anywhere for that kind of deal.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, Contrell, Nasir's not a senior. He's a junior. So they're making an investment in a high school
senior. Year.
Yeah. He's 2028. Man.
I mean, look, I'm sure he's not going to have to pay any tuition for all of those hard work.
And you think about this, too. Like, all right, it's a great
Catholic school.
Great for the kid and his family. They're getting a nice little... whatever they're getting, right? But this early, you can really prevent yourself from doing even better down the road, and that's in college and in the pros.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to go to the pros now. You can just be pretty good in college and make life-changing money. So then it comes down to, like, you know, a parental decision, which parents can do whatever they want. I'm not ever going to criticize a parental decision.
No.
Versus how stupid is the high school booster and the coaches to want to buy a player from all the way across the country that has a lot of work to do? I mean, can you not have that down? I mean, in L.A., are there no defensive ends? I mean, L.A., last time I checked, is a pretty talent-laden place.
Yeah.
What are you doing? I mean, that you maybe, you know, I mean, I just don't, I don't get the motive. That's the thing. I don't get the motivation on the schools end other than they just want to, you know, they want to kind of stack the deck against their opponents. It's going to be interesting to see.
What I'm benefit sorry, is there then, right?
I didn't mean to talk high school sports this whole time. Anyway. Okay, so it's Monday. Right? Monday. Mm-hmm. So tomorrow is Terrible Tuesday.
That's right.
Coffee in the morning. Wednesday, I will be here. Thursday, I will not.
Yep.
Guns N' Roses, Public Enemy, Wednesday night. JC's going to take a mental health day the next day. Right. Last big thing in the big last little break of the summer. I've been tongue-tied during the show today. I was a little tongue-tied during coffee this morning, too. Usually not. So anyway, thank you for tuning in and listening to my TED Talk for the Mad Dog, Phil Mullinax, JC Sherbert. See you tomorrow inside the Gamecocks Show.